Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
We kept peppering him, like, give us an example of what you saw that you didn't like. And he wouldn't. I was peppering him.
I sucked
you guys into it all.
We kept peppering him, like, this Larry King, like, put his glasses on and just went.
Suspenders were tight that day.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Jerry's percentage is at 5:30. The NHL draft next Friday, next weekend down in Dallas, and then free agency right around the corner from that. I'm sure Jerry's in a very good mood. The cup has been handed out.
Yep.
Washington Capitals, everyone stayed out of jail. Everyone was safe. Everyone's happy. It's all good.
What about the people that have to go back to Vegas again for the awards? Wouldn't you be kind of like, oh, my God?
Yeah, it would be a little bit much, but I mean,
I was talking to somebody today. They're like, yeah, Sunday night, I'm heading back to Vegas. I'm like, you're going back there again? I wouldn't even want to go back.
To Vegas?
I would go.
Dude,
I would
sick go. Of Vegas, period. I could care less if I ever go back there.
But at what point did you establish that?
The last time I went.
I know, but what was that, like 50th time being there?
No, I've been there like 5 times.
That's it? Oh, I thought you'd been there a bunch of times.
No, 5 is enough for me, man. I don't care if I ever go back.
I've only been once. I do have the itch to go back. I would like to go back. I had a pretty good time.
I would go back, actually, like for a golf trip.
I'll go anytime. Anytime. You say, let's go right now. We'll jump on. I'll go. I'll call Steph and say I'll see you in a week.
You like Vegas that much?
It's not that I like Vegas that much. I just enjoy, you know, an escape. And to me, Vegas, you can do anything. Like, I'm not planning
an Overdrive Vegas trip this summer.
I'm in. You think you can sell it?
I don't have to sell it anyway, man. What am I going to ask?
We say this all the time. I'll go.
I'll go down for a couple of days.
I'll go to
Why
Vegas.
Don't we go like midweek?
Yeah.
Because I got a bunch of weddings in the weekends. And
so what? Not every weekend.
You're right. Yeah, not every
weekend. I'll go Tuesday to Thursday.
That's what I'm thinking.
Tuesday to Friday.
Maybe that, like the veterans going to Vegas midweek.
Why?
There's no reason for that comment.
If you go Sunday, I've been to a pool party there. Like you go to the bar at night and it's in a pool. And so you just wear T-shirt and shorts, and then like the whole bar.
You're swimming in people's piss.
Well, yeah.
But that's the thing. I stayed out of the pool. We went to that Wet Republic. I didn't step foot in the pool. Because I saw guys.
You can drink 25 beers and not piss once.
And never leave the pool.
Yeah.
25 beers, you stay in the pool for 4 hours. Yeah. Not possible. There's no way you didn't take a leak in the pool.
That pool is just a fountain of piss by noon.
But it's also heavily.
The chlorine.
Chlorine, like whatever. Shocked.
I don't care. It's gross. I think it's gross.
Jerry's percentage, 50% hepatitis if you're in that pool.
No way.
50%.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hundreds of grown men just pissing all afternoon in a pool. It's disgusting.
Women are in there, too. You don't think women are doing that exact same thing?
I think women have the class.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. You think women just piss in there?
Absolutely, women do that. There's no sexual bias for pissing in the pool. Women do that too.
Yeah, and there are guys who get out and go take a leak. I'm one of them.
I don't believe that. That's fake news.
It's not fake news.
I guarantee you.
I don't go in the pool. I don't go in the pool very much.
Well, that's true. You're not a swimmer.
While you're in Vegas?
I didn't go in the pool in Vegas.
Not one time.
I didn't go into the pool in Vegas. I'm telling you, I didn't step foot in the pool. I did not step foot in the pool. Now in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Yes.
You went into the pool and...
I will admit, I was a pool urinator in the pool in the Bahamas.
Man.
I'll admit it. Because we had been in the pool for 8 hours and in and out.
No
and I'm like, forget
you're
it.
Like
I don't
the
care.
Pigs we discussed.
That's right.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'll go on the record right now.
I have no problem with it because the chemicals.
I knew the
kill
chemicals
everything.
Were strong.
They shocked the pool.
I made sure I was asking the pool boy.
Excuse me. So you slide him a 20 and say, can you put a little extra chemicals in this corner?
Yeah, make sure. I'm going to go stand over there and really douse this side of the pool with chemicals.
It's all good.
Anyway, Jerry's percentage is at 5:30. So caught up with Peter Montopoli, the General Secretary of Canada Soccer. That's a great handle. General Secretary. We had the Director of Goaltending on, Mitch Korn,
yes.
From Washington earlier in the week.
Yep.
And we established that. We need to come up with better names than host. We need to come up with way better names. Yes. General Secretary of Overdrive, Director of Mailing It In of Overdrive,
yeah,
Glue Guy of Overdrive.
Director of Glue.
Overdrive.
Director of goaltending for Overdrive. So caught up with Peter Montopoli earlier this afternoon because he's over in Moscow. I'm sure he's celebrating. World Cup starts tomorrow. Big news, of course, throughout the country today is that the World Cup is coming here 8 years from now. In 8 years, it'll be here. And began the conversation with the General Secretary of Canada Soccer, Peter Montopoli, by asking him, what was your reaction when you heard the news this morning?
Overwhelming was probably the word that I would choose at that point in time. You know, when you see and hear the president of FIFA say the word Canada, you know you're representing your country. You know there's a lot at stake, and so there's a lot of reward as well. So overwhelming feelings, but all positive in the end.
You guys were up against the Moroccan bid. How confident were you before you heard the news? How confident were you that this united bid for 2026 would, in fact, fall in your favor?
Well, you know, we've been working very hard for the last 14 months, and especially the last two and a half months, traveling all over the world. And, you know, we were meeting ourselves as football people, dealing with football people, and we felt that our bid would resonate with football people. And we were correct. We felt that we were very compelling in what we had to say. And our journey was the journey that everybody wanted to be on. So we knew we were going to have a victory. We just didn't know by how much. And I think the results tell the story.
The idea of trying to whip up votes, it's very political. And that's what you guys have been doing for 14 months. Like you said, you've been talking to different parties throughout the world when it comes to soccer and football federations around the world, trying to whip up support for your bid. What do you believe stood out about this united bid, Canada, the United States, and Mexico? What was unique about it that you think was worthy of hosting in 2026? Why do you think you guys ended up selling the amount of people that you did?
Well, I think the three words were the key: unity, certainty, and opportunity. Unity is that the FIFA World Cup in 2026 will increase by 50% in terms of number of countries. So that would be really hard task for any one country to do alone. We felt it was better as united, the three of us coming together. Two is certainty. We have 150 training fields already built, and we have 23 stadiums ready to go. We only need 16. We saw what happened in 2010 in South Africa, 2014 in Brazil, and you know, we just don't want to see that happen again. It's a waste of resources, a waste of money, and really the money for football should go towards football and not infrastructure.
With Peter Montopoli, the General Secretary of Canada Soccer, what has to be determined still when it comes to the host cities here in Canada? I know Toronto wants in, Montreal wants in, Edmonton wants in. You guys are going to host 10 games in 2026. How are you going to determine who gets those games and how many games they actually get in the end?
Well, we're going to work with our partners in the United States and Mexico. We'd still like to stick with the three candidate host cities in Canada, three in Mexico, and there'll be 10 in the United States. We believe that we can execute the 10 matches, maybe more. And so we would be proposing all three venues to continue. And we'll see as we go along the line in the next 2 years where we end up. But we'd like to continue with our three candidate host cities.
Do you have one city in mind, one Canadian city in mind, that you would consider kind of the capital of this bid? And if so, would it be Toronto?
Well, I don't know if we would say the capital of the bid, but, you know, what we put forth today as a concept, this is a really exciting opening day concept. Not one match, but three matches, one in each country. We may start in Mexico City, go to the Rose Bowl in Los Angeles, and then Toronto. In between an hour break, we could have a nine-hour celebration where it used to be just 2 hours. We believe that's the way we should start this competition. And then after that, we would have 30 days to continue the competition and celebrate. So, you know, maybe Toronto has an opening match, but not to say Edmonton and Montreal have lesser caliber matches along the way.
With Peter Montopoli, General Secretary of Canada Soccer, the World Cup coming to Canada in 2026, I think the first question that comes to mind for all soccer fans in this country is, will Canada definitely be playing in the tournament. It will be expanding from a field of 32 to 48 for the first time in 2026. What is your understanding when it comes to that question? Will Canada definitely be playing based on an automatic bid?
Well, it's premature to answer that question. It's a FIFA answer that will come very late, 2022, 2023. We still have to run through 2018 FIFA World Cup here in Russia, and then 2022 in Qatar. So, you know, let's give those two competitions, and then we believe maybe in the early part of 2023. That those decisions will be looked at. We have a CONCACAF president who will take under advisement, you know, what's best for the CONCACAF country. And Victor Montagliani, being a Canadian, we think would be very supportive of what we're trying to do in terms of Canada being a part of it. He was part of our bid, so we feel very comfortable where we'll land. But those are questions and answers with down the road.
Well, I would think that would be a big hit, though, Peter, if there isn't an automatic bid, just based on the history of the program. I mean, Canada hasn't been in the World Cup since 1986, and Mexico's in it every 4 years. The United States, it's a shock they're not in it this year, but I think they'll get back in 2022, and I would think they'll play themselves in 2026. I mean, let's be honest, the only country of this united bid that would not be guaranteed to play their way in would be Canada. I mean, is there any way would you have those conversations with the United States and Mexico? If only one team can get in, would you pitch the idea of Canada being the one that gets the automatic bid?
I honestly don't think it'll come to that in terms of only one country being in. We never looked at it from that point of view. We tried to put the best fit forward, which we have. But, you know, we're confident that the right decision will be made at the right day. We can't say anything today. It's not our decision to make. But, you know, I think what I found today is everybody's jumping to us being a part of it in 2026. We brought over John Herdman to fully align the men's program. We haven't given up on 2022, far from it. In fact, we want to qualify for 2022. We always wanted to qualify. I think we've got a better chance in 2022 than ever before. So that's our near-term goal. Our North Star is 2026 and down the road.
With Peter Montopoli, General Secretary of Canada Soccer. Just with this announcement alone, what do you hope the effect will be on the program, the men's program? How do you hope this goal of qualifying in 2022, like you said, but hosting in 2026 affects the men's program?
Well, you know, the good thing is we've already done this on the women's side. When we bid to host the FIFA Women's World Cup, we fully aligned the program. There was a year there in 2014 where we had U15, U17, U20, and the women's national team all ranked in the top eight in the world, the only country to do it. We won a bronze medal in 2012 and 2016. We created a new women's pro league, the NWSL. We were fully invested in women's football, and the results stand for themselves. 2012, 2016 bronze medals, the only FIFA member association to repeat. If we do that and we try and replicate that, on the men's side, we brought over John Herdman. John Herdman's not only a men's national team head coach, he's a system builder. He will build the system over the next 6, 8, 10 years to deliver consistent podium results down the road. We want to be top three in CONCACAF. We believe we can get there, definitely. With John on board, with our investments in the program, a new CPL coming on board, and now the Men's World Cup in 2026, it'll just generate tremendous interest and excitement for men's football, and we believe this is the last piece of sport in our country that we need to deliver.
You guys brought Alfonso Davies, who's a 17-year-old playing for the senior team, to the bid, and he spoke to FIFA and spoke to the world earlier. And I've always believed when it comes to soccer, what's incredibly important is for Canadian soccer, the men's side, to find a superstar. You know, every other sport has it. We know we've had it in hockey forever. In baseball, you got Joey Votto. In basketball, you got Andrew Wiggins. In golf, it's been Mike Weir. Women's soccer's had it with Christine Sinclair. How close do you think you guys are on the men's side to having a superstar, a face of the men's program?
Well, you know, Alfonso can and will be the face of the future. I would say we've had one in Atiba Hutchinson. The only issue with Atiba was that he's playing in Europe, and those matches are not televised back home. Legitimately, we believe he could have been athlete of the year many times over. He's revered in Turkey, which is an incredibly tough and difficult league. Now we have Alfonso. There are others also in the program that have the potential to be. But certainly at 17, you saw what he did today. He wasn't nervous. He was ready to go. He was ready to represent his country. He's got an incredibly bright future. And we look forward to him being there for us in 2026.
8 years is a long way away. I'll get you out on this, Peter. How do you keep the buzz alive for the next 8 years? How do you keep Canada invested in just looking forward to the 2026 World Cup?
As I said, we brought John over. He's starting to build a system. We're getting ready for qualifiers in September for Qatar 2022. We'll continue to promote our hosting in 2026 with our governments, with our cities. There'll be a buzz continuing for 8 years. We've done this for the Women's World Cup. We know how to do it. I thought we put on the best Women's World Cup ever in the history of FIFA Women's World Cup. We believe we have the potential here to do something that's never been done before for a Men's World Cup. Co-hosting, profits, and just general excitement. North America, population 500 million people. We have all the tools in place. We will get there for 2026.
8 years is going to fly by. It was an incredible announcement today. There's a lot of excitement over here. I'm sure it's the same over there in Moscow. Enjoy this World Cup. We look forward to getting you home and continuing the buzz as we lead up to 2026. Congrats, and thank you for doing this, Peter.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, there was Peter Montopoli, General Secretary of Canada Soccer. Caught up with him earlier.
8 years is going to fly by, huh?
This is why I hate doing pre-tapes, because I can hear those kind of stupid comments. Like, what was that? 8 years is going to fly by, Peter. That's such a stupid comment for me to make.
Ridiculous.
It's, I mean...
like, I'm pandering to him, and listen, it's a big moment, and
exactly.
Canadian soccer fans are excited.
You're not going to rain on his parade.
I'm not. I'm excited for it. I'm ecstatic that it's going to be here. It's just, it's so far down the road. It's, you know, you're not going to set up your lawn chair down at BMO and be like, I'm the first one here. I can't wait for tickets.
No.
It's a ways away.
It is.
But I'm really looking forward to it.
For
and
sure.
I believe, based on his answers and what he said and what I've heard and what I've read, is Canada will get an automatic bid. They're going to play, and if they play, it'll be that much better. I mean, the right. World Cup starts tomorrow. I'm excited. I like the World Cup. I get caught up in the buzz. But if Canada was playing, I would be so much more invested.
Right.
So much more excited if I had a home side.
That's and if they're in it, and it's right in our backyard, like,
that
will you
better.
Go?
Absolutely, I'll go. 100% I will be
there. You can get credentialed to go.
But I want tickets. I want to sit with the hooligans at BMO Field, because they're going to have to expand BMO. I think it's a 30,000-seat stadium now. It's got to get to 45,000.
Wow.
So they're going to have to get pretty
creative.
With, yeah, adding 15,000 seats. Like, I'm not sure where those are going.
Well, obviously, to win the bid, you have to prove that you could do that.
Of course, and they will.
Yeah, for sure.
They'll get it done. They got 8 years to get that done. They got 8 years to get 15,000 seats.
It's going to fly by, though. Brian, it's going to fly by.
God, I hate pre-tapes. You always ask for them. This is why I hate it, because I can actually hear it. I can sit there and listen the way the audience listens. And you hear a comment like this, and it's cringeworthy.
Yeah, we have 2 weeks left. I want to pre-tape every day.
Okay, you come in and do them then.
We saw what happened.
Exactly.
Can I do it from home?
No, you can't come. You can't do them from home.
Yeah, I can.
How?
I call into Mulls, and he puts me through, patches me through.
So what, two idiots over the phone for a pre-tape?
That's what it is anyway. What's the difference?
I'm in studio. I'm speaking into a mic.
Yeah, it'll be a lot cleaner.
Give me a pre-tape every day for a going away present.
Honestly, after I made this comment, I don't think I'm ever going to do it again. I think there are 8 years is going to fly by. It was an incredible announcement.
You're just a loser.
8 years is going to fly by.
You're pandering.
8 years.
I would rather go much farther back to like the Caddyshack, the Tiger rolling up. We've had some good sound bites. This one,
we have.
Not so much.
No, I don't like that one. That's up there with They Did It, Naylor, for my worst soundbite of all time.
Why, do people still pull that out?
Yeah, someone tweeted that at me last night. They did, or this morning, when Canada won the bid. They did it, Naylor.
They did it, Naylor!
This comes up all the time. People still remind me of that awful soundbite.
They did it, Naylor!
They did it, Naylor, when the Leafs won the draft lottery.
Weren't you in here with, like...
I was sitting in this seat. I'm in the seat I'm currently in, and Naylor was sitting where you're sitting.
It wasn't, like, Steph here, and you guys were, like...
Steph was down in the confetti, and...
You were downtown. I came and met you that night.
I was down in Studio 6.
You were doing TV that night.
I was at Real Sports with Andy Petrillo.
You were down there.
Getting reaction. The place was a ghost town for the longest time, and then people started to filter. And I was more concerned that people didn't care because it was like, what time of day was that? Was it at like 7 o'clock?
It was at night. Yeah, I think they did it before the game.
But we were like live at 5:15 or something, and I'm standing there. There's eight people. It was like... And
well, who would go to
like,
Real Sports at 5:15?
But that's what I'm saying. And people are like, are you on live? They're in the background yelling. Are we on Cops? Like, it was ridiculous.
8 years is going to fly
and
by.
Then, yeah. And
Eight
then,
years is going to fly by. Delete that forever. 8 years is going to fly by. Yeah, it was Saturday night. It was during the playoffs. And they used to, because now they do it in between the second and third period.
They did that with
that Vegas game in the second round, I think it was.
Yeah.
But this was before whatever game was being played that night. And that was when the Leafs won the lottery. They did it, Noodles.
They did it, Naylor! That was awesome.
God, that was awful. I hate that clip. I hate it. All right, Jerry's percentage is coming up. Jerry, I believe, has an opening statement and a bunch of hot takes. You're going to want to hear this. We'll get to it next.
They did it, Naylor!
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I'm a cowboy, baby. With the top let down and the sunshine shining.
No, keep the booing.
Are we having fun yet?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from 2 people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca.
Some guy from out of town tweeted us. He said he ordered a bunch of it, loved it.
Yeah. Flew in from Alberta, I think.
An Alberta boy, yeah.
In charge of some catered event in Toronto this past weekend, and he decided to lean into some Best Portuguese Chicken. He said it was a huge, huge success.
Mm-hmm.
So if people in Alberta are vibing Best Portuguese Chicken, what are you waiting for? Figure it out. All right, Jerry, with an opening statement, I believe, this week. You want to hear this?
Yes.
I'm already sick and tired of this fake news World Cup, and it hasn't even started yet. Only a Bush League operation wouldn't have a Team Young Stars or Team Europe playing in it. I can't even hate watch Canada because they suck at soccer and never even make the tournament. So listen up, because Jerry's got a message for all the sports media companies in North America. You better lead off all your shows with this blockbuster Peter Budaj trade, or I'm going to snap.
That Peter Budaj deal is a blockbuster. That's a big deal. Forget the World Cup. I don't disagree with Jerry.
Well, it's a depth move. Obviously.
Thank you.
Well, Jack Campbell's going to be the backup there, and they like Budaj. Budaj resurrected his career in L.A. I mean,
Who cares about Jerry? Budaj. Nobody cares about
Budaj. I'm pandering to Jerry.
You're pandering to Jerry.
It's just going to fly by. Those eight years
will fly by. The fake news World Cup. I love that. All right, let's get to the hot takes.
Yeah.
By the time the 2026 fake news World Cup actually happens, Canada's men's team will be ranked in the top 50 worldwide.
They ain't ranked right now.
No, they're not. Technically, they're ranked 79th in the world, but as we know, they didn't qualify for this World Cup, and we'll see what happens in 2022, but I think they can get into the top 50.
I think so, too.
I think this will do a lot for their program.
Yeah, don't you think all the young kids are going to be saying, man, I got a chance to play?
Absolutely.
It should do a lot.
Don't you think they should throw a bunch of money into that program?
They have
to. Make sure like that.
Zillions.
When it's on your own home ground, you're not embarrassing yourself. I think there is a lot of good young talent, and you grow it. What do? You make sure it's funded. So I'm going to be high on this because I think it's going to be a high priority list to make sure that your team is...
There's no excuse for our country to be this bad at soccer. Iceland has 300,000 people.
Yeah.
300,000. We have over 30 million. And let's just be honest. Our men's program has been a disaster for 30 years.
Non-existent.
Yeah. Non-existent. They have been in the World Cup since 1986.
Yeah.
They've had some opportunities. Maybe they've been close once or twice.
I think 50% they get in.
To the top 50.
Top 50. They're 79th right now, though. Like, I don't know when they would have been top 50. But I'm pretty high on this. 75%. I think they're going to invest a lot of time, a lot of money. I think the sport continues to grow in this country.
I'm 75%. Very high on this. 91%. It is your job as a federation to dump a bunch of money and time into this. And I'm not suggesting they haven't. This hasn't been on the back burner. It's a growing sport in this country.
The world will be watching.
Exactly. Like, it's our opportunity. There's a lot of pride here involved, and they will put their pedal to the metal.
Like, they got to get that superstar, though. Like, I talked about that a little bit with Peter earlier this hour. You know, Alfonso Davies, who's a 17-year-old kid, but by all accounts has the ability to be a really good player. But every other sport, including soccer on the women's side, Christine Sinclair has been the face of Canadian women's soccer for a long time and is a legit worldwide superstar. Golf, we've got a Brooke Henderson, Mike Weir, Graham DeLette. Tennis, you've got Raonic, you've got Bouchard, you've got Shapovalov. Obviously, hockey, baseball, basketball. Every other sport, we've got somebody. Soccer, we've never had one in my lifetime. Never had a premier player, like a guy who's a legit international star soccer player.
Yeah.
I really think that would go a long way for this program to have a poster boy. They need a poster boy.
Got 8 years to do it.
Got 8 years. And it's going to, you know what? You know what's going to happen?
It's going to fly by.
It's going to fly by.
Yeah.
Ottawa's been such a pain in Jerry's ass lately. I'm announcing on this stupid show that I'm thinking of kicking them out of the NHL. But if they actually play next season, at least one of Mike Hoffman or Eric Carlson will play for the Sens.
What happened there with the tone of Jerry's voice?
Wow.
Did you hear that, the way he said Mike Hoffman?
Yeah.
Replay that.
But if they actually play next season, at least one of Mike Hoffman or Eric Carlson will play for the Sens.
It's when somebody got an extra breath and they like dug in on it.
Mm-hmm. He really wanted to get Mike Hoffman's name in there.
Let me hear it one more time.
Yeah.
But if they actually play next season, at least one of Mike Hoffman or Eric Carlson
was jacked to say Mike.
Really
Hoffman.
Emphatic yes. about Mike Hoffman's name.
I think they're both gone. 0%. Either of them are there.
Both of them are gone. 0%.
Okay. I start with Carlson because he's saying I'm not going back there, and then the other guy's gone too. And do it quickly. People say, oh, the fans won't tolerate. Fans will tolerate whatever you give them. So just do it and get it over with.
Well, I would guess.
You got a mess on your hands in any walk of life, you clean it up.
I would guess fans in Ottawa are ready to see Mike Hoffman and his fiance leave town.
Yeah.
If the accusation
let's just
is true.
What happens here. You can't.
But that's the problem.
Like if you falsely accuse somebody of this, it's almost as bad as doing it.
But that's what I'm saying, though. This isn't just going to be taken care of overnight. This is going to be a long, drawn-out process. So
it shouldn't be, Jamie. The Colangelo stuff was done in a couple days.
Yeah, but you can fire that guy. You can't fire a player.
That was an internal investigation. This is a legal. This has been filed with the courts. Like there could be charges. There could be. Now it sounds like somebody was writing into us yesterday, and I don't have a legal background, but it could be a misdemeanor. It could be escalated to something else if the fiance breaks the rules as to if it's a. It's almost like a glorified
restraining order.
Correct. So I'm low on this too. I personally don't think they'll be on the same team. I think that's a given.
I think Carlson is gone. I think everyone was bracing for him to be traded anyway.
But what if he wants to stay and they just get rid of Hoffman?
Well, that's possible.
Like I'm not 100% convinced that Carlson's just gone. Like she's from the area. Sounds like she's loved. I mean the wives are reaching out and stuff. Like it's not just a foregone conclusion because a guy's unrestricted and hasn't extended his contract. He's gone. It's his right to snoop around. He has to decide. He also has to find out where Ottawa's heading.
But
to,
that's
right?
the whole that's, point.
Like, as a team on the ice.
And are they going to pay him?
Right.
Like, that's another angle
the
here.
Owner and
if
that,
the owner's
right.
like, I'm not giving you, I'll give you, you know, $9 million a year. He's like, all right, see ya. Like, I'm out of here. Then you got to trade him. And I also feel like there have just been too many things that have popped up. He pulls the puck out of the net his final home game.
Yeah.
That felt symbolic to me. They were this close to trading him at the trade deadline. He was privy of that. he knew that they were looking to move on from him.
I get that.
I feel like Carlson's getting dealt. You could be right. Crazier things have happened. And he's a guy I would try to keep if I was Ottawa.
I'm just not 0%. I should probably clarify my comments. I'm like a 28%. Like, it's not like I hear
you're in the majority that they're leaving.
Exactly, but I still think crazier things have happened in this game where, you know, that maybe they do want to stay, but they've got to clean up. There's so many messes to clean up. They've got to, you know, move Hoffman right away or whatever.
Well, but that's where it gets sticky.
You may not have a suitor.
That's the whole point. Like, by all accounts, he was on the trade market before. They couldn't find a deal for him.
Right.
So taking this bombshell yesterday about online harassment and his fiance being accused, just his game and who he is as a player. Now, maybe they were asking for too much.
Yeah.
Maybe because it was the trade deadline, it couldn't work with the cap. Who knows? He's a talented guy that can score goals. He can play in the league without question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe, as I said many times yesterday, that until you get to the bottom of this, you acquire him if you're another GM. Now, if you talk to him and he's like, I'm telling you it wasn't me, or if I find out it was my fiance, I'm breaking up with her and I'm moving on with my life, then maybe a team will be like, you know what, I'll take advantage of that and I'll make a deal for him. But I think at the very least, you have to launch your own investigation if you're another team looking to acquire a guy like Mike Hoffman, because if he's going to stick with his fiance... You guys have been in that situation.
Yeah.
The wives and the girlfriends on the new team are going to be freaking out that this woman is coming in here if she has been behind this cyberbullying.
Yeah.
Because if she's behind it, that's crazy material.
It is.
That's crazy.
If she's guilty of doing this, he cannot continue pro hockey with her. Sorry.
He came out yesterday and said it's not them. You know, he's sticking by her now.
In fact, is her, he cannot continue to play pro hockey with her by his side.
I think he can. We heard Bob say yesterday, there's a general manager out there that would trade for pennies on the dollar, getting a player like, you know, I don't know the depth because it is so new, cyberbullying. But, I mean, there are people who have... gotten drunk driving, have been convicted of different things. I mean, Craig McTavish got a second chance. He killed somebody
but
in a drunk driving
very
accident.
Very different when it's in the room.
I understand that.
Like, that is worse. Craig McTavish killed somebody and went to jail for it. Like, what Slava Voynov did, you know, comparing and contrasting is difficult to do because they're both heinous and awful.
Right.
But Voynov was in his apartment away from the room. And as weird as that sounds and almost as uneasy as it sounds even coming out of my mouth, it didn't infiltrate the room. And that's where I find it hard to believe when all these guys parrot this idea of character, character, character. The room is our sanctuary. Well,
but how would it infiltrate? Like, you have to still answer for the same thing. If my wife was in a room... And you're bringing back a guy who has been charged of something like that, say the Voynov, that's still going to be in the room, and my family would be around it, and my teammates. Like
this brought in two different parties.
Correct.
Voynov was one party. McTavish is one party. This is the Hoffmans and the Carlsons, and who's to say if you're crazy enough, if she did this, these are only accusations. Why would she not do it to someone else?
You're right.
The other team.
Exactly.
That's the kind of stuff that I think hangs over this.
Correct.
I haven't even given a percentage. 35%.
I was 28, right?
LeBron James, who sewered J.R. Smith worse than the NHL sewered Quebec City into building a new rink, will stay in Cleveland next season.
I'm 0%.
LeBron James. I'm not 0%.
L.A. Lakers.
I think he's probably going out west. I think he's probably going to the Lakers, maybe Houston. I can't say zero. I cannot say zero.
He didn't come up with something.
Yeah, but do you...
Well, I'm trying to.
But
I'm talking myself into it.
But do you think that...
8.5 years it might take to get your percentage on this.
I'll say 25%. I think it's either Cleveland, Philly, the Lakers, or Houston.
But there's no, like...
I do. I think
unless
it's one of those
the owner says to him, I'm going and getting this player and this player.
His wife goes to him and says, I don't want to leave Cleveland again.
Right.
Or his family says, I don't want you to leave Cleveland. You've done that once. Or he decides, you know what, maybe it's not the best thing for my image to do this again to Cleveland, even though very different context this time around. Right, they still made it to the NBA Finals. Like, as bad as their team was on paper, they still made it there.
Because of him.
Because of him. But who's to say he's not confident enough to do that again next year?
And they go and get, like, somebody else to help him.
Exactly. Sign in trades, and they bring somebody in, or whatever it is. I can't say 0% he's not back in Cleveland.
I said 0 just because of the body language and the way he... I mean, even the J.R. Smith stuff, game one, like that, you know, regardless of how it looked, that sound on the bench and stuff, and him... You know, asking Ty Lue about the timeout. Like, you could just see. Like, this
you don't think he's going to do that in L.A., though, if he goes to the Lakers? Play with Lonzo Ball? And
I don't think he's going to the L.A. Lakers unless that Ball kid's out of there.
That's
you think
a big
he wants
ask.
To deal with LeVar?
I don't think anybody wants to deal with LeVar.
That's my point. Why
well,
would
LeVar
go?
Yesterday said he doesn't want Kevin Durant wearing his shoes. He's not good enough. What a loser.
You that's are a hater.
Yeah. You are a hater.
You are.
But that's
a
my point.
Hater.
LeBron doesn't want to surround himself. There were already whispers that he didn't want Tristan Thompson's mess in that room.
And it's a mess.
What's your percentage?
I said 25%.
Zero?
Zero.
Zero.
If Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews both sign long-term deals this summer, their cap hit will be within $3 million of each other.
That is an interesting take from Jerry.
0% for me.
0%.
0%.
I like if Austin Matthews getting 11.5, Mitch Marner this summer does not get $8.5 million. Not a chance.
You can ask for it.
You can ask for it.
I'm pretty low on this too. I'm not convinced Matthews is gonna get 11.5.
But let's say he gets 11.
Okay, then he's gotta get 8.
That Mitch Marner's not worth $8 million.
I don't think he is based on but here's the problem with comparables. You look at Pasternak, and that's the guy that keeps coming up.
Right.
Pasternak's a great player, and he got 6-7 or whatever. Dreisaitl got 8-5.
Yeah, but Dreisaitl's a better player than Mitch Marner.
I don't think he's substantially a better player.
Doesn't
I don't.
Matter.
That's fine, that's but it. I don't think he does. And now it's a year later. He got it last
Dreisaitl
year.
Dreisaitl had 79 points. Mitch Marner hasn't gotten 70 points yet.
He got 61 and 69.
Okay, so he averages 65
and
in 2 years.
And he lit up the first round of the playoffs.
Okay.
But like, I'm just telling, I think you downgrade his abilities and who he is and what he is.
I just think the Toronto spin on Mitch Marner.
I don't think it's a spin,
it's the, this guy's the greatest player who's ever played.
Who's ever said that?
I'm just saying, he's not, he has to earn it still. He's not an $8 million player. If Pasternak is 6'7",
okay, but then
would you trade Marner straight across for Pasternak?
I don't think I would do that. But that's not the point, though. Like, again, Dreisaitl got 8.5. Would you trade Dreisaitl for Pasternak?
If I was Edmonton, no.
Would you trade Scheifele for Dreisaitl? Like, numbers are different. Every year it changes.
You're
what the salary cap is and what the number is very different. I understand why Marner's sitting here saying, how different am I than Matthews? Like, that's what he's saying.
Right.
And as much as I love Matthews, he ain't McDavid. And there was no discussion in Edmonton who's the better player. Clearly McDavid over Dreisaitl.
Oh, that's
clearly. I think in Toronto, Matthews is more important than Marner, but I don't think it's miles away. I don't think it's the same as McDavid and Dreisaitl.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't see in any hemisphere on what Marner's body of work right now is, not where we believe he's going to go.
But that's because a part of the contract, is
know,
you're paying
you
for what you're going to get.
Yeah, but you don't hand somebody 8 years at $8 million a year on what you think he's going to do. That's bad managing. If Kyle Dubas does that, that's a big boo-boo on his. You can give it to him a year from now when he goes out and get 80 points. Because that contract will still be there. That's that amount of money.
Well,
that's my point. You just said this summer.
Well, that's right? That's based on the Jerry's. Like, and listen, I just think when you look at Matthews and Marner,
right?
Matthews had an injury riddled season, an awful playoffs,
right?
If he still is like, well, I'm a lock to get this, and he might be, and his sales pitch is a strong one to Toronto,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not trying to downgrade his importance in who he is as a talent, but I do think Mitch Marner in the second half and into the playoffs made a pretty strong statement. I really do.
I think he
made a strong statement
season,
to get paid.
Would you have signed him to $8 million at Christmas when he had 4 goals?
Of course not.
But that's
of course not. And I wouldn't have signed Dreisaitl to 8.5 at any point this season.
Well, this season, I mean, what did he end up in a down season? I think he had close to 70 points.
Okay, but you got paid to give more than that.
You're right.
So
I'm just saying that Dreisaitl is a better player than Mitch Marner every day of the week. Every day of the week.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
That's your opinion. That's fine. I would, if he's playing center, he's a much more important piece.
Yes.
Much more. If he's on the wing playing with McDavid, I think Marner with McDavid could probably score 90 points.
I'm sure they could. You know, you never know.
So if you do that, though, then all of a sudden, but I mean, how much different are they?
The thing is Mitch Marner hasn't done anything to earn $8 million a year right now, today. And that's
0%. That's my percentage.
This guy is checked out.
Yeah, like, what's your deal?
You guys are just bickering.
But that's the whole bit, dude.
This
we don't
is what
like
we're talking.
It can't be a 30-second Jerry. Here, what's your percentage? 4%. Hit the Jerry. 5%. Hit the Jerry. 7%. Hit the Jerry.
No, but you guys are like personally attacking each other.
No, we're not. We're having a debating. I think this is a big conversation in Toronto
and it's
right now.
Be, and it's going to be exactly moving forward. I'm on record thinking that I think Mitch Marner can get 80 points. I think he can get there. His plateau. My jury's still out on Nylander. I think Matthews is a lock
for
something above Eichel, personally.
I think
that's what
you're right. I think he's going to go to him and be like, if Eichel got this, I deserve this, especially in the market, blah, blah, blah.
I believe that deal could be sorted out very quickly.
Okay.
Mitch Marner, I believe, my personal belief, is that he should bet on himself. Because if we believe he can play like he did the second half of the season in the playoffs, then he will earn that $8 million. He will earn 8-plus or whatever. But right now, if I was a manager, I wouldn't offer him that deal.
I don't disagree with you. I wouldn't give it to him either. I'm not saying I would, but I think that's what he's going to be. He's selling the Kane and Taves routine.
And that's great, because if he goes out and proves it, he's going to make more. So why not bet on yourself? So I'm saying this summer...
If it's this summer, it's
3 million, 0%. I wouldn't do that. That's why I'm 0%. But if it's next summer and this kid goes out and gets 80 points next year and they make the playoffs and he has a great playoffs again, why couldn't he be Draisaitl money or more? Today, that's not the case for me.
I'll say 15%, even after all that. I'm low on it, too. I don't think it is, but I think that Marner... He's going to look around the league and be like...
His trajectory, I think he's on a plateau heading up. It's just, I want to see where it ends.
I hear you, but there's still a... You know, you're doing... When you sign a guy out of entry level
betting,
after 2 years, it's always about what that's going
to
be.
I get that.
I saw that Tiger Woods pulled up to the U.S. Open in a yacht. Only losers like Hayes would chirp that move. From one baller to another, Jerry salutes you, Eldrick. Speaking of Tiger, he'll finish top 10 this week.
40%.
There you go.
Mic off.
No.
5% top 10. That golf course, man. You know where that driver can start going with old Eldrick. You start spraying it around at a U.S. Open, man.
But that applies to everybody, though. This course is so tough.
Yeah, I know, but dude, he ain't the Tiger Woods of 10, 15 years ago. Notice how he kind of gets in there, and then it just goes to hell.
Well, he has to start well. That's what's got to change.
He's always been the front runner, the guy in the lead, the guy in the last group on Sundays. How many times have you ever seen him roar back and come back?
It doesn't happen.
So 5% that he's in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
You're 40?
Quick 40. Quick 40.
Give me 43%. I want to see Tiger and his yacht. I want him to win the tournament and then take his trophy to the yacht and float away.
I would love to see that too. Be a hero move, but one I would support if he actually wins the title.
You guys stole the show in that Jerry's percentages.
Well, we'll get back into the Marner-Matthews stuff. We'll get your take on that in the next hour.
Not a chance.
Just think about it. Put in some time, okay?
Exactly.
Darren Dreger coming up. Steve Phillips. We got to try to get this Terry Collins audio in if we can as well from 2016.
Awesome.
It's so good. All over Twitter, all over Instagram. Jerry's percentages brought to you by Best Portuguese Chicken.